few weeks ago, Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya became the first person to run a marathon in less than 2 hours. Did you hear about this? 1 hour, 59 minutes, and 40 seconds. In order to do this, he had to keep up a 4:33, 4-minute, 33-second mile, which seems almost superhuman. I'm a runner, and I'm quite content with my 10-minute mile, which is kind of slow, frankly. So that gives you an idea of how fast he is. The achievement in and of itself is amazing. But even he himself has actually admitted that he couldn't have done it all by himself. He couldn't have done it alone. First, he was on the kind of course where he could be handed a water bottle at any time. And those water bottles were usually full of carbohydrates, like a heavy cocktail of gels and fluids to keep him going. Second, there were 41 pacers, professional runners themselves, pace setters who came in to run with him, 7 at a time, a 5K at a time. And these pacemakers, there they are with Eliud in the center in the white, were wearing black jerseys and sort of stern expressions on their face, and they formed this sort of protective pocket against the wind. 5 of them running in front in that open V formation that you can see there, and 2 more in the back. And they knew exactly where to run thanks to this pattern of thick green laser beams projected onto the street by this timing car that was also going along beside them. So at predetermined times, the 7 pacemakers would go out and make way for another group of 7 to slide in and take over. Here's another thing that was true about this race. Others had tried to break the 2-hour mark before, including Eliud himself. But that was on a closed course with no crowds. This time, on an open course, there were 20,000 people in the crowd cheering on the runners, cheering on Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya. And so as the finish line came into view and it was clear that the milestone was easily in reach, the pace setters or the pacers and the timing car and the cyclists who were riding along all peeled away, making way for Kipchoge to run to the finish alone, surrounded by the crowd of witnesses cheering him on. Today, we honor a great cloud of witnesses, a crowd cheering us on from the heavenly realm. They're the ones that have shown up for us along the sidelines, the ones who've at times run down from the bleachers, out of the crowd to help us when we've been hurt. They're the ones who want with all their heart to see us finish the race. And today we also honor the pace setters, those who've run beside us in this race of faith, moving into our lives at just the right time, encouraging us, sheltering us from the winds and the storms of life, and pulling back at just the right time so that our own strength might shine when we're strong enough. Today we honor the saints, that great cloud of witnesses, the names on what we sometimes call the roll call of faith that stretches back to the beginning of time and as far into the future as the heart can reach. According to the book of Hebrews, these are the people who have helped us know that there is more to life than just putting one foot in front of the other. These are folks who have brought us meals when we are sick, who have sat with us in hospitals, who, if they've been our partners in life, have perhaps waited up for us for teenagers, who have helped us welcome new life and bury those who have died too soon, who have cried with us at cemeteries and rejoiced with us around tables of plenty. These are the ones who, in your own life perhaps, have walked with you through miscarriages or infertility, the ones we have called in the middle of the night when times were really tough, the ones who have loaned us money or paid for our education. These are the folks who have brought us casseroles or made us morning coffee or laughed at the same stories we tell every year at the Thanksgiving table, even though we've told them every year at the Thanksgiving table. These are the folks, these saints in the cloud of witnesses who perhaps we fought with, but then were offered forgiveness, or we were able to offer forgiveness to them. These are the loved ones who are not perfect, but still have shown us something of the best of love and the best of faith, the ones who have taught us to be more like Christ. These are the ones in the crowd running with us in the race who have said, I believe in you and I love you and I have your back and I won't let you do this alone. These are the ones who have reminded us that faith, according to the scriptures and lived out in life, is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. These are the saints, the cloud of witnesses, the ones who have given us hope, the faithful, the witnesses, the ones we miss today so dearly. Some of us particularly feel that loss very raw and near. The ones through whom the light of Christ has shined brightly into our lives. These are the saints we honor today. If your religious roots are Catholic or more high church, then you know all about saints, and All Saints Day is a familiar practice to you. If you come from Protestant stock or your church is kind of a new thing to you altogether, then you might feel a bit uncertain about the meaning of All Saints Day. You are perhaps thinking something along the lines of, I sure love my dearly departed grandfather, but he was no saint, let me tell you. In the words of Martin Luther, the great reformer, October 31st was Reformation Day in addition to being Halloween. But in his words, every believer is simultaneously a saint and a sinner. We all have it in us. Sometimes I like to say to congregation, good morning, saints, good morning, sinners. We're an awkward mixture of both at once. And all believers, not just a famous few superstars, are called to be saints. I like to call this, some of you have heard me say this, saints with a small s, which includes, we talk about this in the Apostles' Creed, if you know that, I believe in the communion of saints, as opposed to the saints with a big S, also important, of course, but a more exalted status. The Apostle Paul addressed his letters to all the saints in Rome and Ephesus and Philippi, and in this view, I'm a saint, not because of my heroic deeds, my virtuous character, or my performance of miracles. Those are some of the things that must be qualified in order to become a saint with a big S in the Roman Catholic Church. But because I am a saint, because God calls me. The process of sainthood begins at our baptism, when we are given new birth through water and the Spirit and sealed as Christ's own forever. This is a picture of my grandmother on the far left, Lucille, and her four sisters, Nita, Bibi, Lola Mae, and Nadine. My great aunts, they were such a power for me in my childhood. You've heard me talk a little bit about them. They were children, five daughters of a Southern Baptist minister. I bet they gave him a run for his money. My great-great-grandfather. But gosh, how I wish I could sit around the kitchen table with them now. How I wish I could hear them tell me a story, how I wish I could eat some of their good cooking, how I wish I could hear Lola play the great hymns of faith. She was the one that always, when they were kids, got out of washing the dishes because she had to practice the piano. How I wish I could hear those great hymns of faith played by her now with Nita and Nadine singing along. How I wish I could taste some of Aunt Bibi in the middle there and some of her buttery biscuits. But this I know. I miss them so very dearly because of the light and the love of Jesus that shone through them. In spite of all their perfections, and they had plenty, and they would tell them to each other on a regular basis, as siblings sometimes do, but also in a way because of them, because they were not perfect people. They were simply forgiven. And Jesus' light shone through them. They were my pace setters, moving in and out of my life for over 40 years. Nita just died a few years ago, the youngest. And now, They are my cloud of witnesses. They're part of that roll call of the faithful who are still, I believe, cheering me on from on high, from the crowd, still encouraging me to run towards that prize, that final destination of the love of God in Christ Jesus. Of course, our own dearest ones, yours and mine, who we hold in our heart today, are joined in that cloud of witnesses by the saints of history as well, those who have moved a whole civilization on to the prize of love, the likes of Martin Luther King or Dorothy Day or Harriet Tubman or St. Mother Teresa or Oscar Romero, those who have kept the faith and fought the good fight and run beside us in such a way that we are encouraged to keep our eyes focused on the prize. And for them, we read in Scripture, is reserved the crown of righteousness. They're joined by the roll call of the faithful here at Trinity, too, aren't they? The ones we just heard, the names and pictures we just saw, the ones who for over 60 years here at Trinity have made this a community where the light shines through. The saints like Lynn Kearns, who I still miss seeing her presence and her face right over here in this section, smiling so kindly back at me. The saints like Frank Whitecotton, who made sure the boiler was always running. He'd get up in the middle of the night to come over here to check on it. The saints like Lil Abramson, who kept our office running smoothly. Many of you may not even know her, but her love lives on here in this community. Morris Pumphrey, Charlie Mickelson, Jeff Anderson, a little one whose light shone so brightly. And the names of the ones we do not know, but of whom Jesus told us, blessed are you who are poor. They're all around us now. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, he said, and mourn, for you will laugh. This morning, as we remember and give thanks for the saints, let us not forget this, that we too will one day join that great cloud of witnesses, that we too have the invitation right now, right here, to be the pace setter that somebody else needs, that somebody needs to see the light and love of God in us. It is good and right to give thanks for all that has been and to set aside a day like this to attend to our grief and our loss. It is right to weep. God honors that, and to miss those who have loved us so dearly. But those folks, too, are cheering us on. The saints are calling us by name. They are straining, looking down even now to see how we will finish the race. And they are looking to us. They are encouraging us. They are depending on us not to give up, not to lose heart, to complete what we have started, to be the pace setters for somebody who needs it, to cross the finish line in a blaze of love and of glory. Therefore, my friends, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Amen. Amen. And so let us gather around this table.